Well, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share God's word with you. But before I get into that, I'd have you turn to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to go verses 11 through 24. But before I start, as I look over the congregation here in the sanctuary, some of you don't know Alice and I too well. We've only been here less than a year, but I just praise and thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve with you here. Thank you for the encouragement, for the strength you've given us, for the love you've shown. Sometimes we forget that we need to depend on the Lord, but we also need to depend on his people. Sometimes we're very weak about forgetting about that. But on such short notice, I've got a message that I want to talk to you on encouragement. There's been many here who have encouraged us, who have shared with us, who have given us their homes to go in and to stand and talk with them and pray with them. It's a real privilege as a brother in Jesus Christ to know that I have other brothers and sisters here who care about each other and about each one that's here. As we walk day to day, I have to stop and I have to ask the Lord for wisdom on what to do and where to go and where he wants to lead me. I'm getting used to being called on the spur of the moment. It doesn't bother me anymore. It used to bother me terrible. But it's been a real thrill to let the Lord lead in my life. And sometimes I get about 14 steps in front of him. And all of a sudden he grabs me and he pulls me back. And I have to say, what do you want now? And he'll tell me, slow down. Well, after being in the meat business for 40 years, I don't know what it is to slow down. Except in age now, it has slowed me down. And I just praise and thank the Lord for the opportunity that I have the health to stand up before people and give my testimony of living for Jesus Christ. Now let's look into the Word. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor amongst you and are over you in the Lord and admonishing you, and to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace amongst yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both in yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, that you may in your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called you. He who called you is faithful and who will also do it. As I have been over this portion of scripture many times, but it always adds something to me. It tells me, am I always encouraging others? Do I try to encourage myself? It's like I said, there's been many here in this congregation that have been a great help to me as far as where I'm going and what I'm doing. What does he want me to do day by day? And when I first came here, my whole object was to sit out there with you and not be up here. And that's one of the things that I've had to fight, because I am not a preacher. I am not a teacher. I'm just a servant that he is called to do his bidding. The greatest thing in my life is to reach out to the lost of this world. It is also to help the ones that are in need within the congregation. We have opened our house to anybody that wants to come in any time of the day, any time of the night. You might be surprised what you'd get, but it's open. We always can always put the coffee pot on. We can always find something. But it is so encouraging to go to homes, and I've had the privilege in the last 3 weeks of calling on two or three different homes of people who are hurting, some with Parkinson's, some who are just sick. And it's a privilege that Alice and I have. As you know, we're tied up with Bibles for Children. We usually put out about 11,000 to 12,000 Bibles a year for children, people who don't get the Word of God. This nation is so illiterate when it comes to the Word of God. I do not understand where we're going, other than we will face Christ one day and have to answer on what we have done for him. I'll tell you, it's a thrill to teach his word. But I'll tell you, I need to understand it more and more every day. Shall we pray? Father, as we open your word this morning, teach us how to be responsible and encouraging to one another. Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. We need you to guide us. Lord, and as we walk out these doors, might we realize we're on a mission field out there. There's many around us who do not know Jesus Christ. And oh, how we pray for them. And we pray for those who need to rededicate their lives here within this congregation to live for you and ask for guidance and wisdom and knowledge. Thank you, and we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That first verse says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another as you are also doing. Quite often when I'm out on the street, when I'm at home, we walk up the street, we realize that there are many people on that street on 32 going towards Oxford that don't know Jesus Christ. We've only been there, this is, I think, going on 11 years. And to talk with people, we've got a habit of asking people what their name is, what they're doing, what they're looking forward to do. And as I stop and look at the things that are coming our way, we've run into people that have been there for 30 years, and they don't know half the people around about them, simply because they do not reach out. God has given us the responsibility to encourage these people to come in and know Jesus Christ. Living Green, we've got 8 churches up there. Not many that present the gospel message.
Excuse me.
But one thing that I do ask is that we reach all that we can reach. All we can do is sow the word, water the word, and let Christ reach the harvest and bring the harvest in. If you'd stop and look at this world around us, there's not much encouragement for the Christian today. We're all off in one corner. We're not willing to take and stand up for what the Lord has for us. As I reach out to individuals, will you take the time to pray with me? Can I pray with you? Lord, help us to realize it's not the big things in life that matter. It's what He gives us as individuals. If you look back a week ago, I sang Sunday night, but I had a person come up to me and ask me if they could sing with me. Well, I'm not a singer, but I'm telling you, when Harry wanted to sing, I said, I've got to encourage him. Are we willing to take that time? Doesn't matter if he sings on key or if I sing on key, but to be willing to reach out and help these young people and encourage them. All you boys that have been gone, what a thrill it is to hear the testimonies that you have and what you've overcome. But when Harry came to me, you kind of stop and you think, well, yes. I was brought up in a Christian home. My mother played organ and piano. I had a brother and two sisters. My dad sang in quite a few quartets. But they never taught the children to sing and serve the Lord in that responsible part of their lives. So when Harry asked if I could sing with him, I was thrilled. Anybody that asks you to do something concerning Jesus Christ, do it. Don't wait. But as we were singing, I know Harry was nervous. He wasn't any more nervous than I was, though. Because you just don't know. And we hadn't had any time to practice. The only practice we had was 5 minutes before we started here. But it was a thrill for me to see him stand here as a boy. Who knows where he's going? Who knows what he's going to be doing? Is he going to be a pastor? Is he going to be a missionary? Or is he just going to be a worker in the field? But it is a real thrill when I look around here and I see the young people that are here, and when we come into prayer meeting on Wednesday night and you've got Awana out here, you've got 40 or 50 kids that are out there. Are we encouraging those? We've got a bunch of good leaders that are willing to work with them. What a thrill it is to see that. Everybody says, well, why aren't you out there? Because I said, it's more important for me to be in the prayer meeting room meeting and praying for all those people that are out there. As I get out there and I think about that, and I think about Harry, and I think about the other boys and girls in this church, are we as parents encouraging them to go on? Are we encouraging each other to go on? That's one of the things that I look at in my life. Was I encouraged as a young man to go out into this world and share Christ? No, I wasn't. I went to practical and took night courses there. And I thought I wanted to go to Bible school. But every door that was open, all of a sudden it was closed because that wasn't for me. I thought the only way to serve the Lord was either a missionary or a pastor. Don't make that mistake in your life. God's calling you right here, right now, to use you as an individual. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be outspoken. I've been told I have a big mouth, and I'm used to that, so don't let it bother you. But it's one of the things that I stop and think about as I walk this life. How many of the people within the church congregations are willing to share him in the public? I stop and I look at the government, I look at the world around us and how it's all turned into sin. There's nothing but sin in this world and it's getting worse and worse. I have trouble even watching the news on television because of the fact it's not encouraging me. It discourages me because of the language that's used, because of the things that are going on in this world. Most of it isn't worth watching, and it's filthy. So I just praise the Lord for the opportunity that comes my way as I walk and as I talk to encourage one another. My biggest encouragement is my wife. She's my strength. Other outside of Christ. Christ comes first, Alice comes second, and she knows it. But she's strong. She's willing to work with people. I can remember when she couldn't hardly pray in public. But, you know, the Lord has encouraged us as a husband and wife to reach out. Now, some of you think we're pretty tough on each other, her and I, because we really pick. We have a lot of fun picking on each other. And I've made the statement in prayer meeting one night, and I made it in Seasoned Saints. We got talking about people being strong in the Lord, doing things together. We've been married 57 years this year, and everybody says, wow, that's a long time, but that's old. What do you do when you get up Sunday morning? I said, well, you know, you don't get better looking with age as a rule. And Tom Fletcher, if he was here, he'd tell you, when I take Alice down to the beauty parlor, I always walk in with her, and I always tell the beautician, do the best you can, because that's all you got to work with. But she comes right back. She tells me I'm no better either. So, but then quite often we'll pick back and forth. But I know that you people stop and think, wow, how can you two ever live together? Well, it's only because of Jesus Christ that we live together. But we talk about getting ready Sunday morning for church and how as we get older, our faces wrinkle, our hands wrinkle, our legs wrinkle. I just told them, I get out the ironing board, and I throw her on the ironing board, and I iron out the wrinkles Sunday morning. But it's one of those things that we have to encourage one another. We do this all the time at home. We do it wherever we go, and we do it in a joking way. We're not serious about a lot of these things, although maybe she should be. But I just thank the Lord that I can work with her, love her, and how much stronger our love is because of the encouragement we are one to another. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. This is talking about those who are in charge here in the church. And I'll tell you the statement that I make. If I make a mistake and it's wrong, don't go to somebody else and talk to them about it. You come to me and tell me the problem. And in the same token, I'll do the same thing to you. If I see you doing something that isn't scriptural, I'm going to tell you about it. Because it's very important that we keep things in what the book says. I'm so thankful that we have a pastor here who's not afraid to speak up for the Word of God, for deacons, trustees who are willing to serve. What a responsibility they have. And I'll tell you, I've taken a lot of whippings from people. And I look back and I think about all the things that I've done in my life and the things that have encouraged me the most. Is you people. It's Christ through you that has strengthened me. I can remember as a kid going to run away from my grandfather's house we were down there because we stayed with my grandfather and grandmother for a while on weekends. But I said, I'm sick of this and I'm going to run away. I was only about 8 or 9. And he says, well, go ahead and run away. So I started down the road, and it was a dirt road then. And we got down to a junction in the road, and every step that I took coming back, I got paddled because I didn't obey what he had to say. Obedience to us as adults is to serve and to answer for what it is that those that have authority over us. I think that quite often we like to have roast preacher on Sunday afternoon talking over what he didn't do and what he should have done. But you know something? Are you going to do any better? Rather than pick, let's encourage. Let's go up and grab a hold of their hands. Let's put our arms around them and love them with an open heart, with an open mind. Oh, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of these things. That's how I can talk about them, because I know what I've done. But I don't know what you've done. But I ask you, take your pastor, take his wife, because they have a tremendous responsibility in their hands. For the ones that you put in charge here at the church, for the deacons, for the trustees, I just urge you to reach out to them. Don't discourage them. Encourage them. And to esteem them very highly and love them in their work's sake. Be at peace amongst themselves, among yourselves. Now I exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. As I looked at this, I said, my, faint-hearted. Who's faint-hearted? Well, when you're standing up here, it's very easy to be faint-hearted because you're wondering what's going to come out of your mouth and what you're going to say. It used to be you could hear my knees knocking up here and my feet rumbling on the floor because I couldn't stand still in that. I know I make Alice nervous because sometimes when I speak, I wander around and she says, can't you stand in one place while you're talking to people? No, I can't. I get motivated by moving around. But as I stop and think about the faint-hearted that we have, some of you need to reach out. You need to forget about the small things in your life, that you're afraid to do this, that you're afraid to do that. But to esteem each other, I'll tell you, this is so important that we reach out and encourage each other, that we don't cut everybody to ribbons. It's quite often as we walk around and as we do things, we're very quick to criticize people. You want to know one who is? Right here. When I was in the meat business, I had 108 people that worked for me. You had to make decisions. You had to justify the people that you had there. You had to evaluate them twice a year. So you had to make a list every time you went into the stores, what this one was doing, what that one was doing. But I found out one thing. Don't criticize them for what they're not doing. The first thing you walk in and you have to evaluate that person, pick out something that's good. Give them a pat on the back. That's what the Lord has done for you. He paid the price for what sins are in your life. And he will forgive you if you repent. But when you talk to a person, pat them on the back. But then when you get all through giving them that good part, then you get to say, here's what I think we can do to better the job that we have. And it's really something to see the expression on their face, because if you tear them apart at first, you've lost everything at the end. And sometimes I stop and think, where would I be if Christ didn't go to Calvary for me? A person who is so sinful, I'm not worthy of the love that he gave me, and I never will be, but he made me worthy by taking my sins upon himself. It wasn't the Romans that nailed him to the cross. I nailed him to the cross. You nailed him to the cross. It's your sins that he paid for. And it's amazing to me, as I stop and look at each one of us and the things that are going on in this world today, do we pray? Prayer has been one of the biggest things in my life to encourage me when I see the shortcoming of people and what they're doing. I just think about how much it must have hurt Christ when he went to the cross. I never will understand it all. I just will never understand it. And there's that song that I like to sing, I do not know the depths of Jesus' love that sent him down to earth from heaven above, nor of the price he bore on Calvary, but shed his precious blood so willingly. But this one thing I know, that when the crimson flow fell to the earth below, it fell on me. My eyes were open wide, I saw him crucified, and knew for me he died on Calvary. He did that for our enemies. He did that for every person in the world. But you know, we lose sight of that. We're talking about the weak here. We're talking about the ones that are over us. But think about what he's done for you as an individual. Don't look at the world. Don't look at your neighbor. Look at yourself. Do I make mistakes? Oh, I make plenty of them. Do I fall? I fall. You know who picks me up? The Lord. The Lord picks me up and carries me. But not only the Lord, but it's brothers and sisters in Christ like you that come along and pick you up and help you along. It's very easy to criticize, but it's hard to do better. Stop and think about what the Lord has laid out before us. I'm not going to get through this, I can tell right now. I've only gone a few verses, but it's so important. Read this portion of Scripture over. Study it. Then come back and talk to me about the things that are in there about encouragement. We should be rejoicing always. We should pray without ceasing. Most of all, we should love Jesus Christ with all our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole body. Thank you for the opportunities that come our way to serve him. Do not quench the Spirit of God, but make it alive unto yourself and unto those around about you. I thank you for your willingness to share with me for this past year the joy there is in serving Jesus here. I'm like George Yount. I've got more days behind me than I got in front of me. And who knows when the Lord's going to call us home. Might be this afternoon, might be tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe a year from now. We don't know. But until he calls us home, let us be serving him and nobody else. Thank you for the opportunities. I've got to cut it short, but I just appreciate the chance to get up here and share God's word with you. Shall we pray? Father, we praise and thank you again for the opportunities that have come our way this year. Lord, that our lives might show forth Christ unto these people, to the world around us, where we walk and where we talk. I stop and think about the sign that's on the front of the church, Jesus Saves. Praise the Lord for that. Where would we be without it? Lord, as we go, might Christ be seen in us as we walk the streets. Because the streets right now are so full of filth and dirt and rot, and there's no other way to go. If we look at the world, we have to go and look at what the Word of God says, apply it to our lives, and use it for His honor and glory, not for ours. Thank you for these opportunities that come our way, Lord. How we praise you and thank you. In Christ's name, amen.